Regarding the Eshet Chayil, we have been learning about a person being balanced, which needs a lot of explanation what that means. Needs examples. It needs situations to understand what does it mean to be a balanced person. When we speak about balance, we mean that sometimes when you're very good at something, but you're too focused on that thing could sink you, could sink your ship. If you're too focused on the other thing that you're so good at and love, even though it's awesome, it could also sink. A balance means you know how much you need of this, and when do you not need this? How much of that? It's complicated. Life is complicated. Being a great person is complicated. It's not so simple. It's not like black and white. Like, okay, we're always in the black, we don't do white. We're always in the white, we don't do black. It's not like that. The very thing that is black can become white. And the very white can become black. Meaning, the very thing that could be your enemy could be your helper, and the very thing that's your helper could be your enemy. So you really have to know how to balance things. You have to know when is the black item the right way and when is the white item the right way. Just like a ship, you put too much on the right side, it's sinking forward. You put it on the back, it's sinking backwards. I'd like to share with you an example of such a reality. There's a famous Mishnah that says, Yehuda ben Tema Omer. The great Tana Yehuda ben Tema says, Heve az kanamer. If you want to make it in life, you want to make it big, heve az, you have to be. Az means strong. Az means tough. Az means bold. Az means stubborn. Like a namer, like a leopard. A leopard isn't the strongest animal, but it's tough. It doesn't go away until it does what it needs to do. If you want to be someone in life, you have to be az, azut. A certain stubbornness to you. What would be lacking in my life if I'm not stubborn, if I'm not bold? Where exactly do I need this boldness? If you're asking such a question, I would turn your attention to Shulchan Aruch, the first halacha, the first siman, the first chapter, first halacha. Remember, Shulchan Aruch is the book that has thousands and thousands of halachot that guide every moment of our lives and every situation that comes up. The first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama over there writes that a person needs to be careful. The words are Al Yevosh. A person should not be ashamed, busha, bashful, embarrassed. Mipene bene adam, from other people. Hamalaigim alav, who are mocking him. Busha, to be embarrassed, means that you're sensitive to people's thoughts. It means that when you're doing something and you're thinking about what other people are thinking about you. And what they're thinking about you means something to you. It matters to you that this person is looking at you in the way that they're looking at you. And if it's a negative look, so you're embarrassed, you have a busha, I don't want people looking at me in this negative way. But says the Raman Shulchan Aruch, be careful. Be careful to be a person who has azut. The opposite of being bashful, the opposite of me caring about what you're thinking about me, the opposite of that is I don't care what you think about me. I have azut. I'm bold. I'll do what I want to do. And if you don't like it, well, too bad. Because I'm doing the right thing. And if I'm doing the right thing, I don't care that you make fun. I don't care that you mock. I'm not embarrassed from you. It doesn't bother me, your negative feelings towards me. By nature, a person has a busha, especially the Jewish people. It's one of the simanim, it's one of the signs of the Jewish nation. Baishanim, we are a nation of baishanim, those who care about what people think. So we don't say certain things, we don't wear certain things, we don't act in certain ways, because not necessarily because we're so great, but because we're bashful, we're sensitive to how people look at us. So the nation that we are part of, in the genes that we have, we are bashful. Now Shulchan Aruch is asking us that we need to lo yevosh, al yevosh. Don't be bashful. It goes against our very nature not to be bashful. Mipene hamalegim, the people who mock you when you're doing the right thing. Why is Shulchan Aruch writing this at the beginning? The first chapter, the first halacha, couldn't this wait for like the halachot of midot or some other halachot that pertain to the person's behavior? Why is this the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch? He's talking over here about how a person wakes up in the morning, how you start your day. How did this halacha make it to the beginning of Shulchan Aruch? Perhaps the answer is very simple. That Shulchan Aruch is telling you and I, if you want to make it in life, if you want to make it big in this world, you're going to need this midah. And I'm going to tell you why. Because nobody is able to grow in a real way in life without having to face the pressures of other people's negativity. You're never going to grow in life in a real way without facing somebody else's comments. Hashem made it that way. It's not accidental. It's not, oh, I wish my friends wouldn't comment. I wish, why do they do that? Why do they make fun? Why do they, I wish it wasn't like that. Then you're wishing to be on a different planet. You're wishing not to be alive in this world. Because Hashem designed the world that those who are growing beyond where they were are going to face this pressure. The way Hashem designed it, it's actually very simple. Only Hashem can make such a world, such an unbelievable wisdom to give us free choice if growth
was so easy, then it would be very easy for all of us. It's got to be challenging. So here's the way it works. I have some friends. I have people around me, family, whatever it might be. We do things a certain way. We've been doing it a certain way. And now I am growing above that way. Whether it's things that I didn't do before that now I want to do. It could be as simple as doing Netilat Yadayim for people who never did. It could be as obvious as keeping Shabbat for people that never did. It could be getting up in the morning and praying, something we never did. It could be making Berkat HaMazon that we never did. It could be making Berachot. It depends on where your social and family climate is. Makes no difference. You could be also a much bigger level and also have another level above that. The levels of life don't stop when you become observant. It is more and more and more. You go to best yeshiva in the world. There are boys that learn less and boys that learn more and boys who are doing extra during ben azdarim between sessions, and there are boys who are sleeping extra and boys who are... It's in every stage of life, there is another step beyond. And what happens when a person grows beyond their environment? So what happens is that basically you're sending out a message to the people around you. Call them your friends, call them your family. Your message to them is you're not good. When you get up and wash hands for the first time, you're basically telling the other people you're not good. Now, of course, you don't mean to say that. You're doing your own thing. You're not even judging them because maybe they don't know better. I don't mean you're actually doing it for that reason or you're even thinking about that. But the message that's being broadcast is, wait, you're not good because you don't wash. You're not good because you don't make berachot. You're not good because you don't keep Shabbat the right way. You're not good because you don't dress the right way. You're not good. Whenever you grow above your social norm or family norm, so automatically you're broadcasting a message to the people, you're not good. Nobody wants you to tell them that they're not good. So therefore, automatically, when you tell your friends that they're not good in a very strong way, even though you didn't open your mouth and you'll say, "Oh, what did I do? I didn't do anything. Why are they acting like this? I didn't say anything. I'm so respectful." But get past that. You did something that was much more powerful than your words. You broadcast, you're no good. So you know what people do when someone tells them they're no good in a real way? They fight back. Usually that's what happens. There are some great people that when they hear they're no good, they ask, really, why? Could you help me understand why you're doing this? Could you help me understand why it's important? Maybe I should also do it. Those are very, very few. At least not in the short term. The normal reaction, I'm sure you've seen this already in your lives. The normal reaction when people see someone rise above is they need to protect themselves. And the only way they can protect themselves is that they need to figure out how to make you look silly. Because A, hopefully you will stop doing Netilat Yadayim like this. Hopefully you'll stop dressing like that. Hopefully you'll stop learning Torah. Hopefully you'll stop doing these things that we don't do. So if I knock you down or I threaten that, scary. And of course you have busha because it's your nature. You don't like when people look at you negatively. Well, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to look at you negatively. I'm going to talk about you negatively. So besides the embarrassment of public, but even the one-on-one, it's just not comfortable. I don't like when people look at me negatively. So the hope of the attacker, or we'll call him defender, because you're the attacker, they're on defense, is how can I make sure that this person stops that? I'm going to go at them. I'm going to belittle them. The issue is not so much what you're doing. That's not really a concern of anybody. It's more that you're saying, because I don't do it, so I'm not good. And I can't handle that. Because we all want to be good. Every human by nature wants to be good. So I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to make fun of you. I'm going to call you names. I'm going to brand you. I'm going to figure out a way that you'll feel insulted from such a terrible thing that you just did. So you just keep Shabbat. Are you dressed modestly? Did you just make beracha? Are you really learning Torah? Are you, whatever it might be, I'm going to make sure that you feel like a loser. Because with that, I can accomplish one of a number of things. One, maybe you'll stop. And even if you don't stop, at least the others around you will take notice. You know, we lost one. We don't want to lose more. So at least I could protect myself with the others that will be on my team, because nobody wants to be insulted the way I just insulted that person. So even if we lose one, but we'll gain the rest. Everyone is now on call. Everyone is careful. Because the next time you do something more, you be careful, because I'm going to make sure to embarrass you. I'm going to mock you, make fun of you. If there's a person who doesn't know what I'm talking about, then I'm afraid to tell you with all, hope you forgive me, that you haven't grown in life. Because the only person that doesn't have to face this abuse is someone who doesn't grow. You see, if you don't grow above your nature, above your environment, you never have to face this. So if you don't know what I'm saying, it's not a good sign. Hashem made the world in such a way, it's an amazing way, that once you make that step, so like I said, it doesn't really matter what it is, because it's not about the step, it's about the message. Automatically, you're going to get people against you. By the way, people who love you, people who respect you. It's not like foreigners, not like terrorists. But they need protection. And they're going to come at you. And you'll be wondering, what is going on here? My cousin became a drug addict and nobody embarrassed him like that. You become a drug addict, they don't go at you. They don't go attack you. They say, oh, Haziz is a drug addict. Let's try and help him. But you do something better? Oh no, they can attack you. So strange. Two cousins, one guy is drug addict, one guy became a Talmid Chacham. The drug addict everyone loves, Talmid Chacham, they're all attacking him. How does that make sense? It makes perfect sense. Because nobody's threatened by a drug addict. This is the way of the world. You're not going to become anything big in your life unless you know how to be az kanamer. If you don't have
that boldness, that ability to say, it bothers me that you think this way, but it doesn't matter because I'm doing the right thing. I cannot lead my life based on your embarrassing me. I cannot lead my life based on your comments. I know what I'm doing. I need to do it. By the way, Hashem put this in this world to make sure you're authentic. To make sure you're just not like inspired for a second and just decided to do something. Because a person who's inspired for a moment and does something, someone says something, boom, they get knocked down. This is really a test of your authenticity. Are you authentic? Are you real? Are you doing this for a real reason that makes sense to you? Or are you just following somebody? Or are you just inspired and you forgot why you've been doing this? Well, this will actually put it to the test. Because you can only be bold if you actually believe in what you're doing. You know this is what needs to be done to become the person that you desire to become. There is no such thing as rising above without this midah. Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Look at that. It's the first halakha of this Tana. It's the first halakha of Shulchan Aruch. He says other things, Yehuda ben Tema. You should be light like an eagle. You should run like a deer. Each one means something else. But the first item, like the first halakha of Yehuda ben Tema, Hebe'az, you got to be strong. You got to be stubborn if you're doing the right thing. Expect people to comment. By the way, when you know this, you don't just realize and understand what people are doing and why they're doing it. It actually makes you stronger. Because you became smarter. Because now you understand where they're coming from. If you understand the whole story of why they're saying what they're saying, if you understand why they reacted the way they reacted, so first of all, you come in prepared, because you know, if you come in shocked, it could really throw you off. Like if you thought you're about to do something great and then all the people around you knocked you down, it can be very, very disheartening. It could be like, ah, I can't believe this. I just did the greatest thing. I can't believe it. The most amazing change in my life. I thought everyone is going to stand up for me and give me a standing ovation. I thought my family's going to say, whoa, amazing. I can't believe it. I thought all my friends are going to make me a party. Why is this happening? It'll throw you off. It'll discourage you. But if you know ahead of time to expect it, not just this age, but any age, whether you're 15, 18, 30, 50, 80, 90, it makes no difference. The minute you rise above, you're going to have to face this. So now you expect it. What happens when you expect it? So much happens when you expect it. Now you're already playing it before it happens. So you're prepared for it. And especially if you know where it's coming from, so now you just feel bad for the person. You don't get upset with the person. You feel bad. You understand that they're in pain. They're hurting. Yes, they don't sound like that. Yes, they don't sound like they're hurting. But they are. So feel bad for them. You don't have to answer them. Say, I hear you, I understand you. But you have your boldness with you because you know what you're doing. is what you're supposed to be doing. And you feel bad for their comments. Maybe it doesn't feel so great to hear it, but when you're prepared for it, it doesn't feel all that bad.
It's part of the game. It's part of life's age to become Sankhya. You cannot, and will not become anything greater than you are
at any time in your life without this midah. It makes sense that it is the first halakha in Shulchan Aruch. Because you can do all the right things, you can know all the right things, but once you get attacked, if you don't have As Kalamer, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. If you allow people to knock you down with their comments, you're not going to make it. What an amazing creation that Hashem made to make sure that we're real, to make sure that we're authentic, and to make sure that we have a battle, a Yetzer Hara. If you have your eyes and ears open, once you know information that we're discussing now, you'll start noticing a lot of things around you. And you'll start to understand so much of what goes on. You'll hear someone make a comment, not even against you, against somebody else, and you'll get it. Oh, I got it. Another person feeling bad. You start understanding things so much more. And in the meantime, you're developing strength and power and independence. And just like our nation is by nature, by Shanim, we do care about what people think. We're also, in our nature, bold. Because our great-great-grandfather, Avraham Avinu, he's called Avinu, our father, not just because he's a father, because we are, in our DNA, very much like him. He was Avraham Ha'Ivri. Avraham the Hebrew. Guess what? Our nation is called the Hebrews. We speak Ivrit, Hebrew. Why is Avraham called Ha'Ivri? Why are we called the Hebrews? Hebrew subjects. Hebrew writing. Do you speak Hebrew? Medaber Ivrit. What does Ivrit have to do with it? Ivrit is not one of the tribes. Yehudi, I understand. Yehuda. What is Ivrit? Which person in our history was an Ivrit? What does that even mean? It's amazing that our nation got this name. We didn't live in Ivrit. We don't have a person by the name of Avery. Where did it come from? It came from not Abraham's name, but the way people viewed him. He was Avraham Ha'Ivri. That's how the Torah describes him. What does it mean he was Avraham the Ivri? Well, Hazal tell us that Abraham was a man by himself against an entire world of idol worshippers. Everyone in the world was doing one thing. Abraham is out. Could you imagine the mockery? Oh, you're staying home tonight? You know, the whole world is out partying tonight? What do you mean? What are you doing? It's Super Bowl Sunday. You're not part of this?
No.
Because it's silly. Well, part of one of that. But you know, like, New York shut down. What are you doing? Could you imagine the mockery of Abraham Avinu through his life? What are you doing, sir? Not four friends. Not 10. The whole world.
He was Avri. He was a man on his own. That's how he started, against an entire world. Avri, Ever. Everyone was on the other side. Of course, that changed as he grew and more people started to attach himself. It wasn't one man anymore. Actually, believe it or not, he became the most popular human in the history of the world. In today's world, the most popular, most beloved personality, population-wise, is Avraham Avinu. Billions of people in the world respect him as their father. Every Christian, every Muslim. Abraham. Abraham. The most popular man in the world. Most respected man in the world. Notice he was also Abraham Ha'ivri. You would think a man like that, he'd probably become not so respected. He'd probably become like somebody that pushed aside in history. No, no, no. He became the greatest. Az Kanamer. It's in our genes. It's the Hebrew genes. That's what Hebrew means. The word Hebrew means that. Avri. We're the people who have that in our DNA. We're powerful. We're strong. We don't care what people are saying. We don't care what they're doing. We do what we need to do. We do what's right to do. What a bidah. What a beauty. We gotta get some of that azut on our ship. Each person needs to load up their ship with this azut. Gemara says actually, why did Hashem give the Jewish people the Torah? Meaning, the Torah is something useful for every human.
Who can benefit from Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? Who can benefit from Shabbat?
Why Hashem only gave the Torah to Am Yisrael? Didn't He create the rest of the people in the world? Why not give it to them too?
Well, the Gemara already knows, because obviously if Hashem didn't give it to them, it's not like He's playing favorites. It's because they can't do it. Just like you wouldn't give a two-year-old the Sefer Torah to carry. Imagine they invited a two-year-old to carry Sefer Torah. It's not. Imagine the two-year-old crying, why can't I carry Sefer Torah? Very upset. Very offended. Favoritism. Why not me?
She can't carry it.
So the Gemara wants to know, why are the Jewish people able to carry the Torah and the rest of the world can't? Meaning, what is unique about our people that makes us capable of living this unbelievably elevated life? A life of Shabbat and Kashrut and Tzniut and Chokhmah and Mitzvot and... Whoa. Why? Why us? Why not them?
And the Gemara says in Masechet Betzah, Mipene Shehen Azim.
Wow. Because we have a midah, doesn't mean it's automatically used. Every midah we have could be dormant, sleeping. But we have it, it's there. We have a midah of azut. And to be able to live a life of elevation, you need azut. You need to be bold. It's interesting that when Am Yisrael did the terrible sin of the golden calf, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, please allow me and let me wipe them out. This nation, I'm done with them.
Ki am keshe oref hu, because they're a stiff-necked people, they're stubborn people. And I'm going to make a nation from you. No more B'nai Yisrael, no more B'nai Yaakov,
Yitzhak and Abraham, from now on, B'nai Moshe, your new nation, your children, you'll be the father. Done. Let's move on. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu did not accept.
By Hal Moshe, he started to pray, and he did all kinds of work to have Hashem forgive our nation. One of the things he tells Hashem,
he says, Hashem, please save Besalahta. Hashem, please forgive this nation. Ki am keshe orifu, because they're stubborn. That makes no sense. God just told you he wants to wipe them out because they're stubborn. So if you want to defend them, say something else about them. Say, you're right, they're stubborn, but they're kind. You're right, they're stubborn, but they're wise. You don't tell God, who says they're stubborn, and therefore I got to wipe them out, so save them because they're stubborn. It doesn't make sense. It's like a person who is accused of committing murder, and they're going to put him for a life sentence, and the lawyer says, but your honor, you should forgive this man because he killed. What? That doesn't make any sense. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Hashem, it's true. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know they're stubborn. That's why they did the wrong thing. Being stubborn could actually make you do the wrong thing. They did the golden calf after 40 days of Matan Torah. Wow. Keshe Oref. But Moshe says to Hashem, but Hashem, which nation in the world is going to be able to go through exile for thousands of years and uphold your Torah? What do you need for that? Your nation needs stubbornness to be able to live Jewish history with all of its magnificence and all its great accomplishments. This nation has accomplished more than any nation in the world by far, with our small size, with people running after us, with moving around from country to country. How does that happen? Ki am keshe oref. You're right, the midah am keshe oref was used for the wrong. But imagine what a nation like Am Yisrael would be without Am Keshe Oref. What a beautiful midah. What a powerful midah. This midah is for anyone who will grow in life. If you don't plan to grow in life, you don't need it. Someone walking out of this class says, wow, I gotta get some azut. I gotta get like some strength, some stubbornness to me. Very excited about this new part of me that I'm going to reveal to myself. It's exciting. And as you are going home with all excitement about this new you called the Azpanim, the azut, excuse me, you continue reading the Mishnah, the same Mishnah I read to you. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, he lists Tzeve Azkanamer and all the other great things. It says, Kal Kanesher, be light like an eagle, Ratz Katzevi, run like a deer, Gibor Ka'ari, powerful like a lion, La'asot Retzon Avicha Shebashamayim, to do all God's will. You need all these things. Says the Mishnah, listen to these words, most shocking words. Hu haya omer. Says the Mishnah, he would say, you know who he is? The same rabbi. Because you're going to be shocked at the words you're about to hear. You're going to think someone else said them. It can't be the same rabbi said these words. Hu haya omer. Az panim. Aspanim, you have the midah of Aspanim, you're stubborn. You're bold. You're bold-faced. Legehinam. You're on your way to Gehinam. Uboshet panim. Oh, you care about what people think? You have bashfulness to you? You're embarrassed from the way people look at you?
Le Gan Ed. You're going to Gan Ed.
Well, disappointing. After 40 minutes of a class about Azut, the same rabbi says, Hu Haya Omer.
And by the way, if you have Azut, you're going to Gehina. You're on your way. Le Gehina means you're on the trail. Uboshet Panim, you care about what people think? You're sensitive to what people think about you? Oh, you're going to Gan Eden. Oh, how does it make sense? Just as I was loading up my boat, just as I was packing up on my ship all the azut that I need for life, comes Yehuda ben Tamar and sinks my ship with all the azut in it. Easy. What does he mean? What is he talking about? What he's saying is that if you become an aspanim, if that becomes your new motto of life, you're in deep trouble. If you become too much,
meaning here's too much. I'll give you an example. Some years ago, a young man who, Baruch Hashem, grew tremendously in years of high school. Some was a senior. I see him in the hallway one day. See, he had like this very, very serious face. And if people are walking by, he's not even noticing that. Like, not saying hello to anybody, just like very focused. Eyes almost like closed, but open just enough to see where he's going. Ignoring everybody around him, going to where he needs to go. Took notice, I'm like, okay, maybe there's something happened or wrong. An hour later, I see the same story. Watching the next day, I see the same story. A week I'm watching. Very stern face. So I pulled him over and says, Joe, we'll call him Joe. He said, what's going on with you? See, you're walking in the hallways, don't smile at anybody. Doesn't bother anybody. Doesn't seem like you care about anybody. Just do your thing. You go from place to place. He says, Rabbi, this is the new me. I said, oh, really? Who is this new to you? He says, I'm very focused on my growth. I'm very focused on what I need to become. You see, sometimes when you got this package of azut to help you grow, if you keep it on the ship for other things, you start to become a person who is on their way to Gehinna. Because guess what? When you're walking the hallways of life, Hazal say, you need to greet people. You got to show them panim yafot. No, but I don't care about people. No. That was the wrong place for azut. You're only not supposed to care about what people say when they are coming to defend themselves against you because you're telling them they're no good. But in normal life, azut panim, your face became a azut. It's good to have the midah of azun hidit, but your face became that? You're now so big that you ignore society? You're now so careless about anybody around you, so you just walk by them? No greeting, no smile, no can I help you, no nothing. You don't care about how people feel. You see, a guy has a face that maybe he's down, you don't ask him how he's doing.
Your azut became aspanim, became who you are. You could belittle people because you don't care about what they think because they're nobody to you. You could talk about people because they're zeros. Because what does it matter? You're aspanim. I don't care what they think. I could talk about them, I could belittle them, I could say whatever I want, no problem. Because I'm my own person. This midah of aspanim can become, can sink your ship. Because all you did is load up with azut. There's a balance. There's azut when needed, la'asot, retzon abicha shebashamayim, yes. When you have those moments of growth and attack from others, yes, you need azut. Abraham ha'ibri. But in normal life, where's your busha? Where's your sensitivity to the way people are thinking? Especially that you grew. Don't you know they're looking at you? Don't you know they're monitoring you? Don't you know they want to know what a religious person looks like? You ever hear people say, oh, that's religious? Oh, they're religious. That's how they talk. That's what they do. Why do they say that? They don't say, oh, that's a drug addict. That's what they do. They don't do that. Because when people grow, they become targets. Because people want to know, are you real? Is this real? Maybe they're defending themselves. Maybe they want to know where you are. Whatever the reason, you become a target. They're watching you. Don't you care that people are watching you? Aren't you embarrassed to talk the way you're talking? The way people are looking at you? Don't you care the way you look in front of them? Don't you know it's a Hilul Hashem the way you just acted? No, I'm Azud. I don't care about people. Do my own thing. No, you're supposed to care about people. You're supposed to care about who you are and how they see you. If they misunderstand the way you're doing something, that's your fault. You got to be caring about that. Boshet Panim Legan Eden. You need Busha. You need to be concerned about people's thoughts to the extent that it matters, to the extent that it's going to help them, to the extent that it's going to be a Kiddush Hashem. You can't walk around the world with Aspanim. Azut has a place on the right side of the boat, right there, that spot, that's it. Boshet Panim. You're going to have a lot of that too. There's the balance. Here's a great example. Could you imagine? Az Kadnamir, the greatest midah. First in Shulchan Aruch. You can't grow without it. No busha when you're doing God's will. So now I want to take stones and throw it at people's cars. They're driving on Shabbat. Oh, hold on. Wait, relax. Is that really what you're supposed to be doing now? Don't you care about what they think? No, I don't care what they think. They're drawing a Shabbat. No, okay. Are you trying to help them? If you're trying to help them, do you think that's helping them? That's not helping them? You think they're going to get closer now to Shmirat Shabbat because of that? You can't just start throwing rocks at people in life because you don't care about what they think. You only don't care about what they think regarding what you need to do. Nobody should stop you from your growth. Nobody. Azut. But as far as everything else is concerned, you better be very mindful of what people are thinking. And who better of an example than Avraham Ha'ivri? Who cared about people more than Avraham, the one who ignored everybody? The man who ignored society is the one who helps society the most. He's the one running after people to come so he could serve them. He's the one bowing to the Am Ha'aretz by the Ephron and that story. The man who was Az Kanamir was Boshet Panim, cared so much about people's thinking and people's thoughts and the way they viewed him and the way that they would look at him, and he would act with such sensitivity towards them. Amazing. The balance. You lose balance? You're only boshet panim? You're only going to be a person of busha? Forget about it. Your boat, your ship is sinking. You're only going to be as panim? Your boat is sinking. You got to know the balance. You're a balanced ship. You have a great journey. You get to the best places. That's just one example of what it means to be a balanced person. Because life is not that simple. Where it's just black and white. It's boshet panim, and it's not, it's not like that. You need to know how to balance it. With a balanced ship, you're going to go very far places. I have a lot of chizuk, a lot of strength from this class. I feel like I'm ready to do so much. And yet at the same time, I'm ready to feel the sensitivity of people and to have busha in that sense. To care about what people think so I could do better for them. And I could be a good example for them. And I hope you do as well. Baruch Alay Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.